Welcome to the Get Hooked podcast, companion piece for the six-part documentary series exploring the health benefits of fishing and nature for everybody. This isn't your dad's fishing show.
Today we're chatting with your favorite dynamic duo from Star Wars Andor, Faye Marseille and Verita Satu, Vel and Cinta forever.
Fishing is obviously a very popular sport among men, but the world knows that. In this series, we're trying to shine a light on other humans' experiences with fishing and nature. That is not to leave men out of the conversation. No, no, no. To the men, we invite you to continue to make fishing and nature a safe space for anyone who has never seen themselves on the cover of a fishing magazine, and welcome. This episode of the Get Hooked podcast is produced by Bone Vault Inc. in association with AMI and Out TV, and funded by the Bell Fund and Ontario Creates, and is hosted by actor, writer, and fishing-adjacent producer Heidi Lynch. That's me. Okay, welcome to the Get Hooked podcast. I have two people today that I'm very grateful to have in my life, Verita Satu and Faye Marseille.
Hello.
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 I wanted to start off with a shameless plug for Get Hooked, the series. V, you came to the screening last month, and it was so nice to have you there. It was such a good day. I was just wondering if you could offer any reflections on what you saw or like how you would share it with somebody else.
What I loved the most about the show was, as someone who doesn't know anything about fishing, doesn't really care, if I'm being honest.
Oh, damn.
I saw it in a very different light, because I think I always just saw it as kind of a boring thing to do, I think. I'm so sorry. I'm shitting
all over
you.
No, be honest. It's fine.
Honesty, my friend.
Like, one of your favorite things to do, but... Because I'm someone who I think I completely forgot that it comes from, like, there's so much connection involved in it, actually. Mm. And that's what I loved. It wasn't boring at all. I was enjoying so much hearing about all the different stories, like, of people, how they found fishing, how they found their way into fishing, and also the diversity in the people that you brought to the show as well. I loved that. And I also loved how it educated. Like, I didn't know anything about the fish. I didn't know anything about the equipment involved in fishing. So it's like fishing for dummies, you know. It's like it really broke everything down to a really, really basic level. And you don't feel left out when you're watching it in any way. And that's what I loved.
Thank you. Yeah, that was so much part of the intention. And also, like, making a show for myself when I also don't fish. I like to go with them. I like the connection part, but trying to make something that I knew someone like me would enjoy too. I will throw shade back at you though, because do you remember when I was in a pube vest for 2 seconds.
Coming in with the context content. Pube vest. In season one of Star Wars Andor, I played an Aldani woman, and I wore a beautiful costume, which included a sheep vest that I nicknamed Pube Vest.
When you guys did Star Wars season one of Andor, maybe this is just indicative of how batty and tired we all were, but Faye went and bought herself a fishing rod one day.
I remember that.
You and Sule were like, you were so fast. You watched her and I was like, wow, they're really, I was like walking away. I was like, I'm too tired.
Do you remember?
I was like, how do you do that? And how do you do
that
this?
That is true.
I think you were just dying for something new.
Do you remember that we went down to the lock? And there was me, you and Sule. And I was like, I'm just gonna go and do this real quick. And the second cast, like I got a trout. And
I mean,
guys,
that was exciting because I was like, she's not going to catch anything. Oh, not in a bad, not in a bad way, but but it was like, we're just going to be stood here, like, watching you fling things into the lake, you know.
And that was still better than being alone in your tiny hotel room in Inverary. So it was exciting.
Yeah. It was just, but it was especially exciting because you caught something and then, you know, but you're right, actually. I think I should have known from then that fishing isn't actually about the fish, that it's about, you know, like it's a conversation that you're having. It's the energy that people bring to that. It's something that humans have done for thousands of years. It's like someone on the show talks about. It's like, it's how people got together.
For sure. You guys are both in the middle of like dizzying press tours for massive shows and about to launch Andor season 2 and stuff. And I know you've both been doing so many interviews chatting all about work. But I was curious, is there anything that you've been using kind of as a tool to slow your nervous system down or regroup or connect with yourself, having to do with nature or not?
That's such a good question. I mean, I learned the importance of this while we were filming as well, the needing to wind down and taking care of myself. Weirdly, I do find going to the gym is a good like release, lifting weights. But failing that, because sometimes you don't have the capacity to even do that just physically. I meditate. I wish I had a less cliche answer to that, but I've really gotten into meditating and journaling, just like a stream of consciousness, just writing. And it helps me sleep better. It helps me in some ways process what's happening, because obviously the speed at which you think is a lot faster than the speed in which you write. So just by nature of having to write it down, you kind of have to slow it down and you have to structure that sentence, and it's you name those feelings, and it just means that you get it all out on the page and you can sleep properly.
Yeah.
And you don't have like an emotional hangover the next day.
It's like it makes space in the head as well, doesn't it? There's definitely a feeling of like, you know, I don't do the journaling thing a lot, but any time when I'm super worried, like before bed or whatever, if you do that, there's just a bit more space. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm with you on that one. Yeah. And for me, mine's cliche as well. It's like walking the dog. It's like going for an hour or 2 hours with the dog. It's, you know, it's really basic and like it's almost basic.
But getting into the trees, it
is. Yeah.
But that's a proven thing. I was reading something the other day about if we're getting into the science of it, that walking helps your brain process things. It's got something to do with the eye movements that you do, like because you're constantly scanning the horizon. There's something about that helps. I might be pulling this out my ass because I did read this the other day and it's like disappeared. But it's something about activating both sides of your brain. So if you've got a problem you want to solve as well, like if you go for a walk, you process things and you find solutions quicker because you're activating all sorts of parts of your brain.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why it's so hard for like people to just go for a walk and you know, time and all the rest of it is a thing, but why we're so opposed to it. We're opposed naturally. Our body go, no, I don't want to exercise, no, I don't want to go for a walk.
That for me it's the weather.
It's the weather, but it's nice now.
Yeah I would definitely, I mean, I'm gonna go for a walk after this just for funsies.
Yeah, but it's that thing of like sitting in your kind of miserableness that we gravitate more to that, like, oh, I should go for a walk. But like, what, I wonder why it is that there's no it's not a natural kind of like, yep, I'll do this and I'll be fine. Because you know that if you do go to the gym or whatever it might be, you might feel like 5-10% better, which is better than feeling like the shit that you're feeling right now. Do you know what I mean?
Your brain like perceives it as effort, I think, and our brains are so wired to do the easiest thing. But yeah, it's so silly because you always feel better after.
I think it's that. I think it's also, we talk a lot about the fight or flight response, but there's also freeze.
True.
That's
true,
the third one. And I think that's what's actually going on, because I go through the same where I'm suddenly like, I'm going through something, I don't want to talk to anybody. Like I self-isolate from going through something.
Yeah.
And I think it's the freeze response. Like not wanting to work out is like, I there's something about physically moving my body that feels not right to me right now.
Yeah.
I really like the expression that a change is as good as a break, because as someone who has a busy brain, and I know both of you do too, when people are like, just take a break, just relax, that can feel very hard, especially when you're coming off of a high octane, you know, press campaign or shoot or whatever. I know you spend some good time in India, and Mexico is also a place for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious, like what... And I know part of that's to do with family and stuff like that. But is there anything sort of about being in a different landscape or a different environment with different food and different smells that helps you recharge to be able to come back and do what you love to do?
100%. I think for me, traveling, what traveling does is it completely takes me out of the environment and the same patterns of thinking, patterns of thought, or routine, because routine can be, it can make you feel really like secure, right? But it can also, yeah, if you're stuck in a pattern of thought, the routine kind of becomes associated with that pattern, whether it's the stress of work or relationships or whatever it is. So I think taking yourself out of that situation is similar to going for a walk. It's like, there's so many other
so many other things to look at.
Yeah, exactly. So many other like sensory inputs going on, like the smell, the food, the taste, and also just the people that you meet. If you're somewhere else, like, you're going to meet people that think differently, that speak differently, that have different cultures and different stories. It kind of just makes the world feel a bit bigger, and anything that kind of expands your, I don't know about you, but when I've got a problem, I think I go inwards and I make everything like tight and small and inflexible. Yep. And when I go away somewhere, it just blows that wide open. Like, life just feels bigger, and the problems feel tiny because it's just this thing that's going on for me right now in my life right now. And it can feel big because it can be, it's generally something that's important to you, whether that's work or, you know, family or whatever. But it's in the grand scheme of things, I think going away somewhere, it puts things into perspective for me in a different, a different perspective. And exactly, I love that saying. I've actually never heard of that, but I love that. I really, really resonate with that. The change is just as good as a break.
Yeah.
Or change is as good as a rest. That's what I used to get when I was
misquoting.
No, I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it? Yeah, I like that idea of expansiveness that you run about when you're in your little kind of, you're inward and everything feels massive. But then when you step into a new space, it allows for things to expand, which makes your problem feel a bit less intense.
Yeah. But also just in your body, like, I just feel like your chest, I don't know, like, it doesn't feel as tight, it expands, you know, your muscles feel more, just not as tight, you know, everything, because that's what you do when you are stressed, you carry so much tension in your body. And, you know, that's why people get things like back pain and, you know, all these other things that feel like external things. It's all part of just carrying that tension in your body. It's like, emotions become physical in our body. That's like a whole study that's going into it. So yeah, putting yourself in a different position in a different environment, I think it helps me release them a little bit.
Yeah. It's interesting too. I love your reflection on meditation, and I wish I could meditate. I probably just need to try a bit harder, but even you shouldn't try hard at meditating, but watching people fish, I find very meditative. And I watch them go into this meditative state where I think because your body is physically doing this repetitive motion or has this framework it has to repeat, your mind can actually relax and you're not focusing on blanking your mind or not thinking or, you know, and I think same as change is as good as a rest. I can't just take a rest. I don't think I can just meditate. I think I have to find like a meditative action or activity that helps me be undeniably in the moment. But yeah, I get that just from watching them fish though.
Which is amazing.
Really, yeah.
You just have to find what works for you, right? Like, I've got ADHD and I know that you've spoken about you as well. And I definitely was someone that was like, meditating is just not for me. I just can't do it. And I think I took the pressure off being good at it, and it's just something that I do, and I reflect on how I feel afterwards. That's what I do. I, you know, if you compare how you feel before you go in, if it's like a 20-minute thing, and then how you feel afterwards, I always feel better afterwards. Sometimes like, again, if you're in freeze mode, apparently it's actually not good for you. because it kind of feeds into that loop of wanting to go more into freeze. I've really gotten into, like, this last year, I've just really, really gotten into, like, somatic therapy stuff, like reading.
Oh, that stuff's amazing, so, isn't it? Like the shaking and the humming and
they're the ones that that's great. They're the ones that I think I've always known about the freeze response, but I don't think I've realized that that's actually my go-to. I don't want to fight ever. I generally want to run or freeze. And the best way to deal with the freeze response is to move your body, is to, like, kind of complete that cycle so your body comes back to rest. And meditating isn't always the right answer for if you're in that mode, because, you know, you've got all this shit going on in your head, and actually what you need is to go for a walk, is the movement, is the momentum to, like, process that, not to sit inwardly. And like you said, like, maybe fishing or watching people fish and watching the movement and a repetitive movement, maybe that is a better option for you.
Yeah. You feel very like you're meditating when you fish.
Your energy
gets very, like, calm.
There's also a reward element as well if you catch something. I'm an absolute dopamine fiend. So, aren't we all right now? But, I don't know. There's just something about simplicity. I mean, it's all, you know, we've heard it all before, but those are the reason people keep talking about them and still talking about them. It's the simple things that kind of make the difference. Yeah. And being outside is massive. Like, especially like living in London as well. And the fast pace of that. And I know you've just been in New York, haven't you? And they're amazing cities. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love New York, but you do need... do need time to, like,
just get a bit of daylight, get a bit of green. It's so good for you. And I say that as someone who loves spending all their time indoors, but now it's good weather, I can't wait to be outside.
I just had one more question for you guys about kind of like the non-work side of your life. Again, another person shared with me that the point is to die with memories, not dreams. And that really stuck with me too. And it kind of just made me think of, like, oh yeah, what are the things that I always dream about doing? The places I say I'm going to go, or the things I really want to do with that friend, but I get caught up in my busy life or my career and I just don't. Mm-hmm. And I would regret not doing. And I was wondering if either of you had any sort of like destination or new hobby or a small moment that you wanted, a memory you want to make with someone that you that you haven't yet and that you will if work dies down a bit and you have a pocket of time.
I think just for me, it's about connection, like that, you know, the opposite to addiction and the opposite to sadness is connection. And I think that's, you know, as wanky as that sounds, that's the truth. So I just don't really want to have any regrets of not trying to connect with people, all different kinds of people from all over, everywhere. Yes, travel is a massive part of that. But yeah, it's more about who I'm connecting with and what about. That is probably going to be the thing that I'm gunning for as an adult, even though I feel sometimes like I'm only 20.
Oh, so do I. If I could,
but
if
I'm
I could
not.
Have my 20s back, I would. I used to. I don't want to, like, but not
go on.
Not because I want to live through that again. Because, or like, I don't want to. I want the brain that I have now in, but 10 years younger, just for the sake of my joints being able to, because the first thing that I thought
hear
when
that
you were
one.
Saying that, Heidi, is like my absolute dream still from when I was a teenager, and it still is, to travel through Central and South America. And I did a bit of that in 2023. But I always wanted to, you know, Machu Picchu and the Galapagos Islands and like Argentina, Patagonia, Brazil. That's my absolute dream. And the Amazon, that's what I want to do. I want to travel. Like, I got really into Spanish at school, because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to travel.
Oh yeah, I remember this now from
and that's why really I Spanish. Watched Diego's films. Like, because I was so into Spanish, I would like seek out Mexican films and Spanish films, and but yeah, I that's my dream. It would be to travel. I want to do Machu Picchu. I want to do, you know, Central and South America. There's something about that continent, both continents, that like really calls to me. I completely fell in love with Mexico, but I'm not actually, I think in terms of, I kind of agree with you, Faye, in that like it's still about connection. And I really found when I was doing Central America, like in 2023 in the summer, I came back and I felt transformed as a person doing backpacking, because you know, you're staying at hostels, you have to interact with people. And I kind of felt old because everyone there was in their 20s. And I was a solid 10 years older than everyone. But you meet the most amazing people when you're on these, you're on public transport, you're on chicken buses, and you're chatting to the lady that does that as a commute every day. And, you know, I'm so lucky in that I'm able to communicate in Spanish, but you learn so much about, it's all connection. It's all connection. And it meant that when I, and when I came back, like I'm the kind of person that when I go to Tesco, I've got headphones in because I don't want to talk to anyone.
Me too, mate. Even on a dog walk, when I'm like trying to embrace the green, I'm like, stick your headphones in, don't talk to me.
But like, that's not true. I do say a lot to some people. I didn't want to wear headphones. I wanted to talk to people, but it just made me feel weirdly, also made me feel less afraid of the world. I think COVID, I don't think I realized how much of a number COVID did on me. Because we just weren't communicating with the rest of the world for like 3 years in the way that we did before that. And that's enough time to rewire your brain to make other people feel unsafe. Not in a they're going to attack me kind of way, but just in a I'm not used to this, so I'm not going to indulge in that. So I've, since COVID, been always wearing headphones when I leave the house. I so rarely left the house without headphones in. But yeah, traveling just meant that all of that was just deconstructed, because you have to talk to someone. You have to ask them, do you know where the, like, I don't know, how to get to this place, or you make jokes, and I don't know, it's you meet people from all around the world. And yeah, that's my favorite thing to do, is traveling. That's what I want to do more of. Those are the memories I want to make. And I think I'm open to who I meet. It's not like I'd love to take Abby. I'd love to go with you guys, but I'm so open. I'm not specific about who it is, because I think it's an, as long as someone's there for the experience, for the ride.
Yeah, definitely.
There you go.
This Canadian playwright named Robert Lepage has all of these articles he's written about how speaking another language taps into a part of your personality that you never would have known if you don't try to speak a different language. And that was just really resonating for me when you were talking about speaking Spanish. And I've noticed it with you too.
I don't speak any other languages, right? So hi,
family. And she was speaking Swiss, and then you came started teaching herself French.
Let's get this in order here. Heidi speaks French fluently, and she speaks German really well. You speak Spanish. I speak Northern, and you know, I could do with some other parts
and
of my personality.
Speaks it really well.
Yeah, no, I, you know, it's something that I wish like I'd done at school and taken seriously. I mean, we did French and we did Spanish, but no one really, it's going to sound awful, no one really cared. Nobody wanted to do it. And so I got on the old Duolingo, other accent apps are available. And yeah, did a solid 2 weeks. And now
you should keep doing it. You know.
You're doing good with French.
I'm doing all right. Yeah. So, you know, it's that thing of like that extra gateway into another culture, I guess.
I think that's exactly it. I get so excited at the fact that there's a whole world of people that you have access to when you've got language.
Yeah. Do you still use your, forgive me, V, I don't even know the name of the language from Kerala, where you're from. Do you still speak that with like your family over there?
Yeah. I speak Malayalam, and I speak it with my mum, with my cousins who are here. I'm always a bit tentative at first because I don't want, like, it's just doesn't come as naturally to me. But you know, when I go back to India, it's also kind of exciting. It kind of just flows out of you, especially if I'm angry.
Do you have like an English accent though? Like, do they know that you've been over in England when you're speaking that, you know what I mean? Like, you get an accent, right, when you learn a language?
I think for about 20 minutes, I've got a slightly accented Malayalam, but I'm quite good in that I pick up sounds quite quickly. And it's funny, it's my English that becomes accented. It's my English that that gets an Indian accent.
When you're there.
Right, right. Yeah.
It's so different when you actually get to immerse in the culture and speak the language, though. Like when I'm trying to speak French at a group here or something, going to Switzerland or going to, when everyone's speaking it, it's much easier to get into the flow. Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much. Merci beaucoup. À Verda, c'est tout. Et fait Marseille.
Ta, maintenant.
C'était le Get Hooked podcast. Thank you guys so much. And thank you for watching the show. And so excited for everything that you guys have on the go, but also just excited for you to get to have some real human time in your own lives and reconnect with nature.
You can check out the documentary series Get Hooked in Canada on AMI TV, AMI Plus, and on OutTV.com in Canada, the US, Australia, and New Zealand. You can get those through Apple TV and Amazon Prime. On Outflix.com in the UK and Ireland, and on Outflix via Alenti in Sweden, Denmark, Norway, and Finland. Lastly, fish on, shoot on, or tree on. Whatever you do to get your nature kicks, just get outside and enjoy it. Thanks.